T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to Sports Talk here on the Big 870. Mike Dettelia along with Charlie Long in studio, watching over everybody, making sure everything runs right. Steve Geller will join us around 5:45. We'll talk a little bit of Tulane with Matty Hudak, who sideline reporter for the Green Wave, also host of Before the Whistle podcast. At 4:35 this afternoon, Charlie don't want to hear this, but man, we're going to talk Pelicans. Last night was a disappointment after they had fell behind by 20. They catch up late in the third quarter, take a 5-point lead, and then OKC, 12-0 run to finish it, Charlie. Man, Boo was right. We were texting one another. I'm like, good Lord. Because, man, they had shot so well, OKC, in the first half. It was lights out for them.
They were over 60%.
And then they got cold, and the Bells made that run. But, man, you got to find a way to get Zion the ball late in the game, and that didn't happen. And again, it was a pull away, and we'll talk to Chris about it late. But Charlie, I like OKC better than you do. I know they're a young team and they got talent, and maybe they have not walked down that basketball aisle too far, but man, they got some talent.
Sounds crazy, Mike. If you're looking at a potential second round opponent, and this is looking way ahead, I still want to see him. I still want to see him.
Yeah, I want to see him play somebody else.
I think Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is, man, like, he's very talented, don't get me wrong. But the people that keep saying that he's going to finish, you know, top one or two in MVP voting, I don't think so.
I don't think so.
I think it's Jokic at one, and I think it's Luka Doncic at two.
Probably.
I think that Shai's being a little bit overrated. Now, he's going to finish top five for
good.
Sure. And he's outstanding.
Good.
And he's leading that really, really young Thunder team. At the same time, though, a lot of those big shots last night, the big threes, Isaiah.
Jalen Williams
is Mr. Fourth Quarter.
Giddey hit
some huge threes, and that was really backbreaking. But we'll talk with Chuck in a little bit about, you know, the loss. My biggest takeaway, you know, you come back from down 20 points, you go on this huge run, you go up five.
Man, was the crowd into it.
And CJ, what are you doing? What are you doing, CJ? I love CJ McCollum. I almost never criticize the guy. And he's a great leader for this team, but he made some really bad decisions down the stretch. And, I mean, we can call it what it is. That's what happened. That's what happened in that game. Zion Williamson should have been touching the ball every single time down the floor. Once you go up 5 points, get it to Zion, let him close the game. The Pelicans have had some bad losses this year. That one against the Thunder, it's a talented Thunder team. It's got to rank near the top. It's not the best because you had the Grizzlies losses earlier on.
Grizzlies losses,
really ugly losses.
That's a rip the heart out.
Yeah, for sure. But this one was close. I mean, you fought back from down 20 points to go up five with 3 minutes left to go, and then you let OKC go on his 12-0 run, and they win by seven. And that was I don't want to call it a must-win game, Mike, but we've talked about this six-game homestand, how important it is. It's crucial for the Pels to at least get out of this with a 3-3 record. If you win that game, you're starting to get greedy. Let's go 4-2 in this stretch. Let's feel really good about ourselves because, you know, I haven't really mentioned the game you lost to the Magic last week that was in Orlando. The Magic are a different team on the road. That's a much more winnable game than people may think. Even though they're, you know, fighting for potential seeding in the Eastern Conference playoffs, they're a really good team. Similar situation with the Suns. I think the Suns are a beatable team. Once again, you saw what happened with the Bucks last night, Mike.
Good
they blew a
gracious.
Game to the Lakers.
The Lakers.
Yes, that's a winnable opponent. You have a couple of winnable games in here. They're against really good teams. But you could have gotten greedy had you beat that OKC team. Now you're saying, okay, 3-3. That's what we're rooting for here.
It didn't work, but you had it, man. You had it for a while. You really, really did, and it sort of slipped away. But I came away more impressed with OKC and a young team and being down and having a big lead, then they blow it, and then to come back on the road. I got to give them full credit there. And again, I like them a little bit more than what you do, but you can see the talent in Holmgren. Again, he, you know, okay, he ain't got a lot of meat on the bone, but good gracious.
That's solid.
Man, he's a good player in this league, and you can see that top three and how they work it, and they feed the ball inside to him with Chet. And, man, don't they have a whole bunch of first-round picks again over the next couple years?
Yeah, they have, like, I want to say they have a ridiculous hoard of picks for, over the next five drafts. So they're going to obviously trade some of those off for a superstar at some point once they get a little bit older and those players start to hit their primes. There was a stretch, and this is where you can question Willie Green from last night's game. Did Jonas Valanciunas play a minute in the second half? I don't think he did. And when he
his explanation was we wanted to get to be a faster team,
correct,
a quicker team.
But this is a team, Oklahoma City's not a good rebounding team. They don't have, you know, any kind of beef on the interior. You mentioned Chet. Chet's a string bean.
Yeah.
So you can, yeah, you know, we talked with, I think it was Kurt Heelan the other day about it, and he said it was a good matchup for the Pelicans because you can bully them underneath. You can bully them with Zion. You can bully them with Jonas. They didn't even give Jonas minutes. The Pelicans got out-rebounded last night, which is the biggest, you know, surprise.
That's the takeaway.
Yeah, like, that was ridiculous. Why not give Jonas Valanciunas some minutes if you're letting them crash the boards? There were some big offensive rebounds in that game, Mike, and a couple that came really late. Now, you know, we also have to, I guess, slam the officiating in a crucial possession, a tie game 112-112, and didn't end up mattering because the Pelicans didn't score any points for the final 3 minutes of the game. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander walked. Like, it wasn't even close. He carried the ball. And they let it go, led to an open three, and OKC hits it. They don't look back. What are we doing? Has NBA officiating ever been this inconsistent?
It's really bad. And across the board, and I'm not just talking about last night's game. You watch other games, it's terrible. It's really bad.
It's really rough.
So, again, though, Thursday night, you got another shot. Milwaukee here at home. It's not getting any easier. With these teams, and this is the stretch we've talked about.
Yes.
This six-game run and how you get out of that. But you had an opportunity last night. And I don't like to use the term steal a game, but you basically could have stole one.
That's what I was telling you. I mean, you're down 20 points. You're dead in the water. You come all the way back. That is stealing a game. You're right, Mike. They could have stolen it. Instead, you know, they fell by the wayside. They lost their opportunity. The good news is, similar to the Magic that I was talking about earlier, the Magic are 17-19 on the road. They have a losing record. You know who else has a losing road record? Milwaukee. Bucks. They're 17-18 on the road. So the Pelicans bounce back.
You got to take care of business because you know who the next opponent is.
We got to split one of the next two, right?
Exactly.
Because if we keep saying, you know, go 3-3 in this six-game stretch, you don't want to start 0-3, right? You're already 0-1. If you split the next two, and I think Milwaukee is the more winnable game
than Boston.
Yeah, versus them in Boston, then you have a little bit of breathing room to go 2-1 at the worst in those final three games against the Suns, the Magic, and the Spurs. So, you know, that's kind of what I think, Mike. If they can bounce back and beat the Bucks, who, by the way, you know, they're on a one-game losing streak. They're 5-5 in their last 10. They haven't been playing great ball. Once again, 17-18 on the road. It's a winnable game for the Pelts.
They're a disappointing team this year.
Definitely.
Okay, you got to put the cards on the table here. I think a lot of people felt, you know, you would look at them like you did the Celtics in the East. And yet, that's not the case. I know they made the coaching change and everything else, but do they look like an elite team to you?
I think they look like an interesting team to me.
They
flash it. Because, as you said, they flash it, and they're a team to watch in the postseason. See, you know, that's an all-or-nothing team. That's a team that could either, you know, go to the Eastern Conference Finals or get upset
get
in the first round by
the second round.
Yeah. Or the first round, in a 2-7 matchup with Miami. So they'll be a team to watch. But as I mentioned, yeah, last night's game was so disappointing because you saw it. The Pelicans fought all the way back. And then, once again, I hate to kind of keep harping on it, but
man, CJ
came
to
clutch.
CJ,
and it was like a heat check. The three that he took, it's like 15 seconds left on the shot clock. He just jacked up a three. I'm like, what are we doing? We have a three-point lead, and there's like a minute and a half left. Dribble it out. Like, get something set up. He just jacked up a three. It was a brick, and then everything fell apart from there. So, yeah, I mean, once again, I love CJ, but it was not a good performance in the clutch by him. You lose that game to the Thunder, and now you have to bounce back against the Bucks.
When we come back with more sports talk, we'll talk about LSU Pro Day, and Malik Nabers had not worked out at the NFL Combine. And for me, is if you're shocked that he ran this fast, that, you know, okay, he ran a 4.35 40-yard dash, and he had a 42 vertical, and I think it's a 10.9 broad jump. Okay, you haven't watched him. This is the beauty contest, but Malik put on the show with all eyes watching, and we've talked about it all during the season last year. The race on who's the top wideout in college football, and I think it's a kind of a split decision here. I think some people, Marvin Harrison Jr., who's a different type player and a different personality than Malik, are Malik. And then, you know, I did a show a couple of weeks back with Daniel Jeremiah. Man, his feeling is that Rome Odunze was the two guy. He had Harrison one and Rome two. Again, it's to your choice, and there's no right or wrong with this. But, man, Malik, he really did. He won the kind of football Olympics today at LSU Pro Day. We'll talk about that. Also, Jaden and the defensive lineman getting long looks from the NFL people right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in. When you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870, Mike DeTayo along with Charlie Long. And we talked a little bit about it in the first segment at LSU Pro Day today. And again, this is sort of the beauty contest you see all across college football. Everybody has their individual days and pro days and everything else. But Malik Nabers had decided not to work out at the combine, and he was going to save it for LSU Pro Day. And he did exactly what I think everybody kind of thought he would do. He ran that at different times, but LSU has officially put it out, 4.35 and a 40, 42 vertical, 10.9 broad. Don't tell you a damn thing about if he can play. All I know is I've watched him enough. He can play, flat out play. And now the debate rages on. We talked about this the entire fall, that it was going to be this really neck-to-neck race between him and Marvin Harrison Jr. to be selected as the first wideout. Now, we didn't know there'd be four quarterbacks that would be selected ahead of him, and I think that'll happen now. We knew about three, and now J.J. McCarthy has come into the picture here. But Malik, Charlie, first time I met him, it's like he's not built like your typical receiver. He's really built like a running back. Man, he's yoked in the chest from the waist down. He's really well built. He can flat out fly, but it's his ability to not hit the brake hard. Coming out of a cut in the brake, he does it with ease, not a lot of lost speed or quickness. And a lot of fast guys can't do it. They almost have to come to a complete stop to do it. That's not Malik. And he catches the ball so clean. He's versatile. He can play the X, the Y, the Z. He's got great hands for contested catches. He's tough. He'll go over the middle.
He's got huge hands, Mike.
He got some big paws on him. And so he is a guy, man, I think about it, on signing day, he was going to sign with Mississippi State. Coach Owen and company, they got him at the almost the bewitching hour. It almost was midnight, so to speak, and they were able to get him to go to LSU, and he's turned out to be a premier receiver there. A lot of times I don't like to give comps to players because I think it sort of sometimes puts a lot of expectations. But you know who he really reminds me a lot of? Ja'Marr Chase. I'll watch Jamar, and I've watched Malik, and there's a lot of similarities between the two of them. How they built, how fast they can run, their ease of movement to get into and out of a cut and a break, their ability to make a tough catch in traffic. They can do it. And again, now the big question for Malik will be where he goes, because again, if you have four quarterbacks go first, then, you know, he'll go from 5 to 10, somewhere in that area is where he's going to be selected. And will somebody pick Marvin Harrison Jr. ahead of him? And Marvin has not won the offseason, and that was his decision, not to work out, not to do these individual deals. And I get it. His film tells the story. All you got to do is take a look at it. But it's a tighter race than a lot of people thought, because I remember during the fall, oh, you're being a homer, saying that Malik was that close to Marvin Harrison Jr. Now you're hearing everybody say it. Again, it is what it is at this stage. And the three defensive linemen had a lot of peeping eyes on them today. Mekhi Wingo, who I think the world of, he's barely 6 foot tall. But you talk about a guy who's technically strong, knows how to play this game well, really impressed with his hand usage and his leverage skills. Jordan Jefferson, who made that huge leap, he was an undraftable prospect when they brought him in. Now I think he's going to probably go in the middle rounds of how well he developed. And I got to give Pete Jenkins a lot of credit. Pete worked with him, and Pete told me he was a fast pickup guy. And when Mekhi got hurt, Jordan Jefferson stepped up. He was no doubt LSU's best defensive lineman, and then the potential guy in Mason Smith. And Charlie and I were talking about it off air that, you know, you see him in his size and how fast he can run, and he's got this giddy up to him. Now he's got to make some plays. He is tall cut, and we've talked about this with Brian Brisset when he came in. That's a liability in run support. Man, they get under your pads and move them around. And last year, if you watched him, man, he was disappointing because he'd come off the snap, he's high, offensive lineman get under his pads, and they move him around. He flashed some pass rush skills, but it's the potential of Mason Smith, because he's got all the physical ability. Now he's got to get the technical skills down as a player. To have those three guys, I think everybody sort of knew about Malik, and Jaden is who he is. And Brian Thomas didn't really have to work out, didn't do all the drill, because he did it at the combine. And he's another first-round pick, I think anywhere from 16 to 24 in round one. But those three defensive linemen, they had a lot of people interested in them, because you can't find those guys. Defensive linemen are really difficult, and LSU having three of them that'll get picked. And I wouldn't be surprised. Two of the three get picked in the top 100. Mason off potential and Mekhi Wingo production. Man, Mekhi, he's one hell of a football player. Great pickup from Missouri, where he started out. And he was a freshman All-SEC player at Missouri. When we come back, Chris Dotson, who covers the Pelicans for Clutch Points, will join us and talk about disappointment last night in losing to OKC, but upcoming game against Milwaukee right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL. Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870, Mike DeTelio along with Charlie Long in studio and on our Oakland Heart Jewelers talking text line. From Clutch Points, covers the Pelicans and the NBA, Chris Dotson. Chris, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon. Charlie's in a much better mood this evening than he was last night. Good gracious.
I was beside myself, Chris. It was a tough loss.
Yeah, he sort of took that one sort of hard. But, man, come on. You're down 20. You make the run. Now you up by 5. I mean, I was like, this cannot happen. Then all of a sudden, I give OKC a lot of credit. They showed a lot of poise for a young team on the road. It didn't bother them that they were down by 5. They came back and made that run and had a 12-0 run to finish it off. I was more impressed with OKC's effort at the end than I was disappointed in the Pelicans.
Yeah, SGA looked like he's been fighting through some stuff, but OKC, you said it, they had the poise to pull it out in the end. You saw, 17 double-digit leads the Pelicans have lost. This was going to be the first time they actually came back in the fourth. The Smoothie King Center was rocking on a Tuesday, and then it fell apart. They're going to have to find that poise and find a way to, in those clutch moments, not only get stops, but find a way to get buckets.
I think one of the things, Chris, is I think you learned from late in that game, got to find a way to make sure that Zion has the basketball late. He was dominant last night, but late in the game, it was almost like the unplug come on. And what happened with Jonas, and I heard what Willie Green said about we want it to be quicker, faster, whatever, but this is a team we've talked to other people about and watched. Okay, so they're not a great rebounding team, and you take Jonas out and he doesn't see, what, a second of playing time in the second half?
Right. And the other night we beat a team like 50 to 20 or 30 in rebounding because we let Jonas play. And Zion, going back to what I just said, you got to find a way to get buckets. He was going crazy all night, finally found a rhythm, and then you went away from the offense that got you that five-point lead. Why would you ever want to do that? And then to the Jonas point, yeah, if they want to go that way, we've got to go the other way.
This yeah.
Two, three games in a row, Orlando, Indiana. The last loss. It's ridiculous that they keep going away from JV when he's proven time and again that he can give you 25 minutes, a double-double, get those rebounds, and then Zion's not going to get critiqued for only having five rebounds, even though he's built in a way he should have eight or nine a game.
Chris, I kind of want to move on from this game as soon as possible, but the last thing I wanted to mention was Mike and I talked about in the first segment a little bit. CJ, you know, he's been a great leader for this team. He's been outstanding since they got him from Portland. That was one of his, you know, I guess more, I don't want to say worst performances in a Pelicans uniform because he did put up good numbers, but in the clutch there, Chris, I mean, the ball has to go through Zion's hands. It can't be him chucking up a three with like 15 seconds left on the shot clock when, you know, it's you're up by 3 points. Zion needs to have the ball every single time down the floor.
Because they couldn't stop him.
And create off the dribble. Right. Even if he's not shooting and driving to the hoop, like, create an open look through Zion. I don't understand what CJ was trying to do there, trying to play some hero ball.
Right, and it looks like that's by design, actually. I just wrote on it that in the last 10 games, even when B.I. was playing for eight of them, B.I.'s usage rate has went down to 5 full points. That's one of the biggest drops by any, you know, all-star, star-level starter in the league. C.J. has went up, and obviously Zion's went up with more of the point-Zion experiment. But it looks like it's by design that C.J. and Trey are going to become more of a focal point in the offense. And B.I. was actually, like I say, being phased out, so to speak, with that 5% usage rate drop over the last 10 games. So I'm not sure if this is an experiment, if this is, to quote Willie Green, he's exploring what he can do with certain pairings before they get to those last 5-10 games where hopefully B.I. and Dyson Daniels are back. But, from what I'm seeing with this offense, it's great when there's no pressure, but when the pressure hits in those clutch moments and you get just barely ahead, they can't hold on to it. And that's something that it will be deadly, just fatal in the playoffs.
Yeah, I'm with you 100% there, Chris. I think the clutch moments for this Pelican squad have definitely been the biggest issue for them. It's come up time and time again. If they're not blowing teams out.
And we saw it early, the two games against Memphis.
Well, it's happened multiple times. Yeah. I want to say that their record in games decided by like three or fewer points is just awful this year. And it's a complete outlier.
Yeah, the one in Houston. This team has blown teams out in a way that they don't have reps, meaningful reps, in the clutch moments in the back end of the fourth quarter. I think they're only like, you know, they're dead last, they're 28th. Where some of the other teams that have played in the Western Conference, they're in the top 10. The Clippers have those reps because when they made that trade for Harden, they were fighting through tough times, and now they've built through that. And the Pelicans just don't have those moments that they've had to go through, except for, say, a play-in loss, and that was just a blowout. And the last two times they were in the play-in tournament, Zion wasn't there, so he doesn't have the experience. So this team's really got a lot to prove still over these last 10 games. Even if they wound up in the fourth or fifth seed, they've got a lot to prove based on what we've seen on the last 10 games.
Chris, one of the things, maybe give us a preview of Milwaukee coming up. Charlie and I were talking about this off the air and also on the air about this is a team that at times looks really good and at other times really not. And I thought they would be an elite team. I thought you would look at them same way you did with the Celtics. And you don't today. And I know they had the coaching change and everything else. Your thoughts on Milwaukee? Last night wasn't a good night for them, certainly. But your thoughts on Milwaukee as they're entering the end of the season and into playoff time, is this team met expectations? I guess is maybe the best way to put it to you.
I don't think the Bucks have met expectations, especially when you look at what the Celtics have done this season. I think we all thought those two teams might be swapped in the standings with the Bucks running away from it and the Celtics kind of trailing. But, I mean, they're right there. I think if, Charlie, you want to look ahead, forget about looking behind the next two games, Bucks and Celtics. And the good thing is for the Pelicans, not only that they're both at home, but both of those teams are pretty much settled. They're going to be 1-2 in the East no matter what. So they might be taking their foot off the gas. The Bucks might still be trying to iron out some wrinkles between Giannis and Dame if they're even going to play. And they have Chris Middleton and Lopez. Some of those guys are starting to take nights off, so we don't know quite what Bucks team we're going to see tomorrow, kind of like all season, to your point. But this is still a winning Bucks team that has guys that can go out and beat you single-handedly with four G-leaguers if they want to in the back end of the regular season. We always see some wonky stats. But this is going to be a good test this next Wednesday-Friday set between the Bucks and Celtics because, hey, hopefully the Pelicans get some teams that are wanting to rein it in a little bit instead of go all out, because that would just one win would help so much in the standings right now.
Yeah, and Chris, if you're looking at the final 10 games now, it takes now a 6-4 record to get you to 50 wins on the season. And the way I was kind of mapping it out with the Kings and the Mavericks and the Suns, it feels like 50 wins would at least get you out of the play-in tournament, almost guaranteed. And you're looking at this upcoming stretch. There's five more games at home, as you mentioned, the Bucks and the Celtics, but then you have the Suns and the Magic and the Spurs. Heading into this six-game stretch, I kept saying 3-3 I would be happy with. Now you're 0-1. You need to go 3-2 to reach that 3-3 mark in the six-game homestand. I mean, what are you thinking with this, you know, final five games? Are you thinking a split with the Bucks and Celtics would be okay, and then you go into that Suns, Magic, Spurs, you know, stretch having to win two?
Yeah, that's exactly where I'm at with it. Split here, at least get one. Like, you got to beat Wimby and the Spurs. You have to. Orlando's coming here. You have to get revenge on them. The Suns, they've kind of been sputtering. They played a couple of nights ago. Tonight, they're in Denver, so that altitude, you hope, takes a little bit out of them. Beal's still a little banged up. He's game-time decision tonight, I just saw. We're really rooting for Denver down here in New Orleans to knock them back. And I think as long as you stay above the Mavericks, you'll be fine, because we have the Kings coming up before the Lakers. You get to play Portland and Golden State. You control your destiny there, so to speak. So you don't need to get to 50 wins, but you need to win, at least five of those games that you're supposed to win. And then just root, you know, for the Nuggets tonight, for an instance, against the Suns, and knock them back just one more so that, you know, maybe you get a cushion in that last game against the Lakers and it doesn't have an all-or-nothing feel. Because I feel like if you go into that Lakers game, the very last game of the season, and both teams are playing for a whole bunch, they're going to feel like that's a continuance of the play-in tournament. It's going to be a revenge game way after the fact. And I don't know if the Pelicans want that, or maybe the front office does, to see how this team responds. But that Lakers game, if the Pelicans don't handle business, could mean the fifth, fourth seed, or the play-in tournament, because it's that type. They're all one game, one game back of each other.
Chris, how much emphasis do you put on this? Not down the stretch, but once you get into the playoffs, talent wins, okay? We all agree. You'd much rather have the talented team. But from a coaching standpoint, we had a texter text me this about, to ask Chris about his feelings on how much coaching down the stretch matters and how you play your players. And then once you get into the tournament, because I do think coaching still matters. You can have talent, but it's the best use of that talent.
Yeah, coaching still matters a whole bunch. You ever asked that one? I mean, just look at how Ty Lue has been making adjustments with the Clippers and how much they're paying for those adjustments. I was joking with a few people around the league that every game Willie Green wins this postseason is another $500,000 on his next contract extension. Like, that's really where we're at with it now. And he's going to have to come up with something besides Larry starting the second half. I think we've seen what we need to see to make that judgment. But other than that, it's talent wins. We hope B.I.'s back. Zion's got to be Zion and hope what he's doing translates to the playoffs. And CJ has to come up with perhaps his best playoffs and postseason ever, because he's going to be due up for another contract soon enough, or he's going to be in an expiring situation, and he's getting a little closer to 35 than we want him to be.
Right.
So them legs are kind of going out like Larry, who, just to hype it, if everybody wants to watch, on the 30th, Carlo will play his last game with the squadron. That'll be their last game. I'm hearing that Carlos exceeded expectations. From a scouting standpoint, I think he'll take Larry's spot more than JV's. But if Carlos pushing it good and they don't see Matt Ryan do certain things, we could get a wild card like Carlo in for those last 5 to 6 games just to see if he's ready. And I think that would be first you'd have to trust Willie Green to play him. But I think that would be the changeup that really shakes this team up, that says, oh, nobody's spot is safe. Even if they bring Carlo in and he doesn't play, everybody else will start ramping it up a little more. Like, oh, I really need to go. They're pulling other people up. This might be our only run at this, since the front office is stuck with the status quo for so long. So just showed so much trust in this locker room. They're going to want to repay that in some way. And if it takes something being injected and sparked into this locker room to get that out of them, that's just what it takes.
Chris, how long do you think Dyson Daniels will play in the G League before he gets brought up?
Oh, he went off today. I don't know if you saw. It was like 26.
The floaters are back, Chris.
Yeah, 8-6. It was 50% from three. Okay. They let him go off. I actually think Dyson will stay down there for that finale.
Okay.
With the squadron on the 30th, just to get him another game, and they can judge the soreness between that. If you brought him back to the Pelicans, people would want to rush him in too soon, and we played, you know, tomorrow night. This will get him to the 30th, get through the full rehab steps, the full process. They'll do like another imaging the day before, let him play the game, and then he'll be back with the Pelicans the day after that game. And I think if he plays again like he did today, he's looking like he's ahead of schedule the same way Willie Green said he was last week.
Well, that's good news. Good news for the Pelicans. Chris, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon. Always appreciate you coming on with us. Great insights.
Always an honor, guys. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Chris.
Chris Dotson, who covers the Pelicans for Clutch Points. And he's optimistic. He's like you, Charlie. He's optimistic.
Listen, as I said, you know, you have to
you
go
gotta
3-2.
Over it. You got to move on.
6-4 in these final 10 games will get you to the 50-win mark for the second time in franchise history. You got to start with 3 wins in these next 5 games at home.
But you got to win Thursday night. You can't put yourself in a bind. You got to win Thursday night against the Bucks. We'll be back to finish it off here in our number one of Sports Talk on the Big 870 right after this break. We're finishing up here in our number one of Sports Talk on the Big 870. We come back from the news break. We'll have on with us former Major League pitcher Scotty Sanders. Help us break down LSU's big SEC series this weekend when they play the Arkansas Razorbacks. They bounced back with a win last night against Southeastern. We'll be back with more Sports Talk right after this news break.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.